It's AAC Plot Points. I'm Ben Walpole. We're wrapping up the ASCE Environmental and Water Resources Institute Environmental Health and Water Quality Committee Sustainability Miniseries here today. This is part 3 of 3, so please make sure to listen to the first two if you haven't already. They were released earlier this week. We had episodes with Emily Gruber and Christopher Cheney. 3 podcasts, 3 dynamic professionals doing amazing things in the sustainability space. Now today, to wrap up, guest hosts Brianne Duncan and Jill Peel talk with Erin Novini. She's an engineering specialist at the consulting firm TriHydro, where she's worked since 2005 and has increasingly been involved in sustainability objectives as well as supporting sustainability goals for her clients. She has a ton of interesting things to say, both about her career path. There's even a dead rat story in there for fans out there of dead rat stories, and especially how she's seen sustainability develop over the last decade plus in the corporate world. Very insightful stuff today. Here's Erin Novini.
Hi, Erin. Welcome. We're excited to be talking to you today and glad you can join us here on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. So, Erin, early in your undergraduate studies at UCLA, you changed your chemical engineering focus from biomedical to environmental. What prompted that change in your educational path?
Yeah, so at UCLA, we had a few options that we could choose from for an emphasis within the chemical engineering major. And that really meant we all took the same core classes, but had a few different flavors that we could choose from, including semiconductor engineering, biomedical, or environmental. I think there were a few other options. And I originally went in with the biomedical option, somehow thinking that might get me into robotics, and the idea of medical prosthetics was really appealing to me at the time. I don't have any idea if that career pathway was even possible through that emphasis, but that all sounded really great to me. It made a lot of sense to 18-year-old me. So that's what I chose. And there were really a couple of pivotal moments in my second year of undergraduate that made me change my mind. And one of them was a bit of a comedy of errors in a biomedical lab gone wrong. We were handed a freshly gassed rat that day on a dissection tray. This was not your high school, like, been in formaldehyde for 20 years. This was still warm. And my lab partner cut into it and the blood gushed out and I screamed. And that was the end of my biomedical option in chemical engineering. So I knew what I didn't want to do. And then I had to figure out what I did want to do. And the other thing that happened that year was I got involved in a student group that introduced me to environmental advocacy and environmental justice. And I found that I really liked that stuff. And that group was the California Public Interest Research Group, or CalPERG.
I know you are not the first person to have a rather traumatic experience in a benchtop lab dissection. So very glad that at least you realized that early on and didn't, you know, wait too long to redirect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, as an undergraduate, you mentioned the CalPERG organization. Can you tell us a little bit more about that group and your involvement with it?
Yeah, absolutely. CalPERG is an advocate for public interest. They speak out for the public and stand up to special interests. When I was at UCLA, their focus topics were affordable education, hunger and homelessness, environmental alert, and water watch. And we worked to engage the student body on issues like textbook price gouging. We did food and clothing drives for local shelters. We did river cleanups. We coordinated with other student groups for major Earth Day events every year. And I got to say, as a young person, to learn about all of these topics that perhaps you'd never thought of before or heard about, and also to get a little angry about injustice and then take action in big ways where you felt like you were making an impact, that is what the college experience is all about. And I loved all of it. Blew the doors right off my comfort zone, and it was amazing. Other things we did with this group, you know, we would lobby our state representatives in Sacramento. We did sit-ins at college career fairs. We did get out the vote drives. We did calling campaigns where we'd grab students walking to class and have them call politicians on all kinds of topics. So it was really, truly a grassroots experience. And it really shaped my understanding of our political system and how we as individuals can absolutely make an impact on an individual level, and that your power grows when you inspire others to take action as well. So within CalPERG, I took on leadership roles. I started as the coordinator for their Water Watch campaign. One of our biggest annual events was the LA River cleanup. And then I became vice chair of all of the CalPERG chapters in the UC system. And that taught me about leadership, organization, and time management skills, which as a young person was really, really critical to surviving college. And it also taught me some of the right and wrong ways to connect with people when you're trying to motivate them to take action. So overall, it was a really amazing experience, and I would encourage anyone to get involved.
Thanks, Erin. That sounds like a great experience and really a big part of your time at UCLA. So at UCLA, you then graduated with your degree in chemical engineering with this environmental focus. And then you started working at Trihydro in 2005, shortly after you graduated. How has your role changed in consulting from the time you started till now?
Yeah, it's changed quite a bit. It's really rather evolved. So I chose a career in environmental consulting as I thought that would be a nice marriage of my engineering degree with my passion for environmental work. And what attracted me to Trihydro was the size of the projects, like literally the footprint of the project sites where we had remediation occurring. It was just astounding to me. So jumped in, took the job, was very excited from the get-go, and I very quickly got involved in groundwater remediation projects at major oil and gas sites. As a staff engineer, I was doing day-to-day data collection and operation of pump and treat systems, soil vapor extraction systems, really kind of whatever the remediation technology was at a site, and a lot of environmental sampling and report writing. I then slowly started to take on more assistant project manager roles, and then eventually managing, becoming project manager of smaller projects, and really understanding how to run a project and manage a project team. And that was really the first handful plus years in my career. In 2011, I passed my professional engineering exam for chemical engineering. And after that, my career really started to branch out. So in addition to managing my own projects within that groundwater remediation space, I also got involved in the world of air compliance, which within Trihydro meant I was working in it with also a different business unit. And that business unit happened to be very active in the conference space. So suddenly, I'm not just attending conferences, but presenting at conferences and writing abstracts and white papers and connecting with clients and doing business development and after-hour cocktails. And it was really, really been quite a ride to get involved in that aspect of the business as well. At about the same time, I was asked to be part of our growing sustainability committee. Trihydro has multiple employee-led groups, things like our mentoring program and our employee engagement committee and our wellness committee. And at the time, the sustainability committee was really trying to figure itself out. And I worked closely with another woman to reconfigure the committee, what we were going to focus on, and with an effort to brand Trihydro as a company that, you might say, runs with the big dogs in the sustainability space. So if you think about companies like Patagonia or Clif Bar, these are household names that everybody knows are doing good things for the planet. So how do we position Trihydro to speak that sustainability language, commit to goals, and brand ourselves in this space? And I wanted to take the opportunity to make Jill a little uncomfortable and tell a story about her dad, who was formerly the CEO of Trihydro. So Trihydro has adopted the Code of the West as our code of ethics. These are 10 codes. They're derived from a book called Cowboy Ethics by James P. Owen. It's a great read. I recommend it. We're headquartered in Laramie, Wyoming, so the cowboy theme kind of makes sense. And I'm not going to list all 10 ethics, but they're things like leave each day with courage. When you make a promise, keep it. So Jill's dad, former CEO, was sitting down with the author of this book and brainstorming on how they might add to this list of codes. And what they came up with was an unofficial 11th code of leave it better than you found it. That has become the motto for our sustainability committee and a great sustainability brand for Trihydro. So as a sustainability committee lead, we figured out how to brand ourselves. Thank you to Jill's dad. You're probably tired about hearing stories about your dad, but I had to throw that one in there. All right, so back to things that I'm doing with my career. So I'm currently a team leader at Trihydro, and I co-manage our Southern California office and our employees here. I'm also a shareholder, and so Trihydro is a privately held firm, and shareholders do a lot to support the financial health and business growth of the company. Quite busy with that role that I have here. And then about a year and a half ago, I was asked to lead a new corporate initiative called Natural Resource Resilience, which is aiming to grow Trihydro's business in the forest health and water resource space. And that is the long-winded story of my career to date.
I'm sure there are many more details that you could have included, but you are a woman of many hats, and that is very incredible how involved you are with your firm and with your colleagues, and I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, how has the conversation around sustainability changed on the corporate level in the last, couple of decades, maybe?
Sure. So I have definitely seen and experienced an evolution in since entering the environmental industry almost 20 years ago. We used to use the word sustainability a lot. And even though that's a little bit of a vague word, everyone knew what you meant. You meant green. You meant earth friendly. But the public started to get fed up with major corporations talking the talk, but not walking the walk, so greenwashing. And the public wanted to see, and they wanted to spend their dollars on companies that were being socially responsible. They don't want to be pandered to. They want to be seen as responsible consumers. So, and they also want to make sure they're investing in companies that are leveraging their power in ways that are benefiting communities and the planet. And so entered this phrase, corporate social responsibility, or CSR. And to me, CSR actually felt rather short-lived. The phrase is weird. It's a little wonky. It didn't do enough to bring the quantification piece to sustainability. Sure, you're doing it, but, how effective are you being? Did you SMART goal that? Can you be specific and measurable and actionable with all these sustainability goals you're telling me you have? And that's really forced a transition into where we are now, which is with a new acronym, ESG. And that stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. I see that as an effort to detach from those vague, wonky terms and provide actual categories. So environment, social responsibility, and corporate governance to quantify progress. And the ESG world has really expanded as major global financial investment firms want to make sure their money is being invested in companies with high ESG ratings. That has caused all kinds of kerfuffles in the global market, and I'm not going to get into that. But what we have now, if we now have multiple global reporting platforms where companies respond to and provide concrete evidence for hundreds of questions about their environmental impact, employee diversity metrics, their own purchasing practices, and then these rating companies evaluate that information and provide an ESG rating. So that's been a big overarching evolution that I've seen in the sustainability space. But the other thing that I've noticed is this trickle-down effect. When you have major Fortune 500 companies being asked to evaluate themselves inside out, they start to take a look at their own service providers. Trihydro is a service provider. We provide environmental and engineering consulting services to major Fortune 500 companies. And a couple of years ago, we were asked by the supply chain department of one of our major oil and gas clients to participate in our own ESG survey. So I see this just getting bigger. It's going to get more standardized as we move forward, and I don't see it going away.
Absolutely. So, Aaron, you mentioned working with these, you know, big Fortune 500 companies. From the industrial clients that you've worked with, where have you seen the most progress in implementing and incorporating sustainability practices throughout business operations, either kind of in what we provide them as far as design work and what we do, and then also the changes that they have within their business operations?
Sure. From our client business operations standpoint, what I'm seeing, I'm seeing companies do different things, but what I'm seeing be the most effective is when a company has an internal team at the top that has mastered the top-down approach to information sharing, such that sustainability goals are making their way to day-to-day operations. And we as TriHydro, we're part of those day-to-day operations. So when that trickles down to us, you know that that's being successfully run at the company's corporate level. At the day-to-day level where we're operating, we're being asked to provide information back up that chain. And this is information like, are we using diesel generators at any of our project sites? If we are, how large are they? How many miles are we driving for this project? What types of vehicles are we using? So you can kind of start to see that the client companies are trying to paint a greenhouse gas picture of the project sites that we work on as TriHydro. I have not heard that we are being required to meet any specific sustainability or greenhouse gas goals, but there is a lot of information gathering going on.
That's always the first step in these new program developments, right? Is finding out what types of metrics you need, how to collect them, how to manage them. Mm-hmm. And it is wonderful to hear that we are in that phase, right? It's more from here, and that's great news.
Exactly.
And our last set of questions, we have our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Excellent. All right. Choose your favorite from the following list of spectacular 1990s PBS cartoons. We have Captain Planet, The Magic School Bus, Arthur, and Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh, rapid fire. Okay, Captain Planet. Although, who wouldn't want to be traveling through your small intestine right now? Anybody?
Right?
With Mrs. Frizzle? Come
Just
on.
Fabulous. Excellent choices, no matter what. All right, next question. Finishing salt or fresh ground pepper?
Fresh ground pepper, every time.
No, I think I have to disagree with you on this one.
Oh, dang it. That's okay.
It's okay. Agree to disagree. Uh-huh. All right. What is your favorite groundwater treatment technology?
Okay. The most fun one that I had experience with was early on in my career, and it was we were pumping recovered groundwater into two giant aerated tanks that with enhanced microbes that were genetically modified to digest diisopropyl ether.
Ooh, very
interesting. And it was a daily lab experiment. That had to be my favorite.
Very fun.
Yeah.
All right, final question. What is your go-to coffee order?
Right now, it is a tall iced caramel macchiato because I do not believe that it's fall yet, so pumpkin spice lattes can stay on the shelf. I don't want to see them. It's too hot.
Oh, those macchiatos are dangerous. Gotta watch out.
They are.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Erin. It was delightful talking with you. This is a really, really fun interview. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Go ahead.
And it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to be invited to do this. I had a blast. Thanks. Thanks to you both.
If you'd like to talk further with Erin about her career and work, she's encouraging people to email her at enovini@trihydro.com. That's enovini@trihydro.com, TriHydro.com. ASC Plot Points is a production of the American Society of Civil Engineers. Please subscribe, rate, review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast platform you prefer. Thanks so much to our guests today, Aaron Ovini, and guest hosts Brianne Duncan and Jill Peel. Our music is by Coltrane Motion. Learn more at coltraneemotion.com. You can keep up with everything going on at ASCE and the entire civil engineering profession online at the Civil Engineering Source at source.asce.org. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.